you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flip Side. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary healing light work that will help us manifest World Enlightenment 2016. So let's get high and fly into new possibilities. So join Kathy every Friday night on UPRN, the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show, a very powerful happening.
Hello, this is Angela Thomas with a message about living life to the fullest. As a psychic clairvoyant, I often give insights to one's career path, financial situation, or relationship. Whether one is happy or not in their current situation, where he or she is right now is an important part of learning valuable lessons that can lead to fulfilling one's life purpose. If I can offer you insights, feel free to contact me at 636-278-2272, again 636-278-2272, or visit my website, angelathomas.org. I'm considered a psychic, so I provide accurate and detailed psychic readings for individuals as well as groups. Remember, no matter what influences your life at the moment, live life to the fullest. Stay in gratitude, count your blessings, and prepare yourself for more opportunities around the corner. I'm Psychic Angela Thomas, and my website is angelathomas.org.
Welcome back to News on the Flip Side with your hosts, Stephanie Benetti and Joe Montaldo.
The UPRN family of shows would like to take a moment to thank our loyal listeners for tuning in to UPRNTalkRadio.com along with 107.7 FM New Orleans. Broadcasting on multiple platforms like Live365, Ustream, and Shoutcast has made the UPRN the longest running, highly rated, and best source of quality, unique programming that is not afraid of the status quo in alternative media. This station has a solid course of shows and hosts that refuse to get stuck in a rut or be overrun by a groupthink mentality, because station owner, host, and iCar founder Joe Montaldo knows the value of letting his talented stable of hosts grow uninhibited. In this genre, that's an accomplishment which many in alternative radio are striving for but are left consistently wanting. This is all made possible because of you, the listener, that tunes in live every night, who can tell the difference that independent thinking makes. The best way to show our appreciation is to thank you and continue to allow our listeners the ability to download the archives of all the shows free of charge on iTunes, Podbean, and SoundCloud. No monthly fees, no cost to download individual shows, and none of the constant hassling for donations. That's the UPRNradio.com difference. So stick around, there's much more to come with new shows on the way. For now, feel free to join your favorite show live in the Pal Talk chat room, easily accessible off UPRNTalkRadio.com, and share the experience of listening live with other listeners from around the world. So thanks for listening, and thank you for being a part of the UPRNTalkRadio.com family of listeners.
Hi, come check out Christina George's new show, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond, Thursday night, 8 p.m. See you Thursday, everyone. Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening to United Public Radio.
Hi, this is Stephanie Benetti, and you've been listening to News on the Flip Side, only on United Public Radio.
Come check out Christina George's new show, Paranormal Connections, only on United Public Radio, Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. See you Monday. You want to learn about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs, visitations, military abductions? Join Joe Montaldo on Wednesday night 8 to 10 p.m. for his episodes of UFO Undercover. Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flipside. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
From redfish to sailfish, tarpon to tuna, there's no end to what you can reel in here. And when you figure the only thing better than the cat
Julian, thank you very much for being here. So let's start with the additional information you have regarding Hillary Clinton. When can we expect this information?
Well, we are working around the clock. We have received quite a lot of material, stimulated, of course, by the U.S. election process and by our major DNC revelation, which has now led to the resignation of five top officials in the DNC, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the president, the last one, late last week. So, you know, it's a complex business what we do. We have to assess the veracity. We have a perfect 10-year record so far in never getting it wrong. We want to keep that reputation, understand how things should be formatted, what media we should be involved in, what is the best way to stage it out, Do we accumulate everything, assess it, publish all in one batch, or do we do several batches? The approach that we've decided to take, do we do several batches?
But what, I mean, give us a general sense. I mean, are we going to see it before the November 8th election?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in the case of the DNC leaks, for example, we pushed as fast as we could to try and get it in before the Democratic nomination conference, because obviously people have a right to understand who it is that they're nominating and what sort of process was involved. And the same is true here for the US electoral process. People involved in that election have the right to understand who it is that they're electing.
Now, you've seen it, right? Can you tell us how significant you believe it is? I mean, compare its significance to what we saw released by WikiLeaks in July.
Well, I don't want to scoop ourselves. We have a lot of pages of material, thousands of pages of material. So, I have not read every single page. We're hard at work in doing that, trying to understand, etc. I don't want to give the game away, but it's a variety of different types of documents from different types of institutions that are associated with the election campaign. Some quite unexpected angles that are quite interesting. Some even entertaining.
Do you, you know, right now, according to the average of all polls, she's beating Donald Trump by 5.5 points nationwide. She's way ahead of him in most of the swing states, not all. Do you believe the information in your possession could be a game changer in the U.S. election?
I think it's significant. It depends on how it catches fire in the public and in the media. Mm-hmm.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Flipside Light. This is Thursday's edition. Sorry, I'm laughing at Julian Assange. The man does have an impeccable record as far as what he's put out. I may not agree with his methods sometimes, and some of the stuff he might do I might even consider borderline treason. But as far as what he puts out and how he puts it out, he does a pretty good job, so we'll see what's going to come out. I imagine it'll be out in the next 30 days or so, and we'll all get a good look at it. We can all talk about what's going on here. Maybe we'll do a panel show on this particular topic matter and see where it's at. By the way, we might be off Saturday. They are forecasting a storm to head towards the Gulf, and it should be in the Gulf sometimes Tuesday or Wednesday, actually probably Monday. So all of my owners started calling me early this morning and saying, are we prepping for the storm? Usually, we only prep for, category 3 or above, but since no one really knows what this storm's doing, we may have to be on Saturday to go prep and make sure all of our owners' windows are boarded up and other stuff are taken care of and properties are secure. We may be taking off Saturday for the storm, so we won't know that until Saturday. Hopefully not. Hopefully everything will go according to plan, but I'm not 100% sure. Because there are other things going on, and frankly, we may have to take the day off. But, unfortunately, my customers are what pays for all of this and me working for them. So, and we do get storms from time to time. It's been pretty quiet. We haven't had a major storm anywhere along the Gulf Coast since Katrina. And Florida's been on a dry spell. We're hoping to keep it that way. We would really like not to have any storms, but hey, you never know. Now, the storm I'm looking forward to is Assange when he releases all of this stuff I really do think we'll do a panel show. Maybe we'll get all the hosts together and do it like that. Remember, Benito's Tiles will be moving to Friday and hosting Friday with Jim Allen. Right, I'm currently hosting with Lily on Mondays. We're looking for a new host for Tuesdays. I'm gonna keep Thursdays, and Saturdays we're changing the show. So, like I said, I'll probably take 3 or 4 weeks, but slowly but surely we're kind of changing the format, the layout, and what it is we want to do. For a while now, I've been wanting to change the show. You know, when Stephanie and I first started doing News on the Flip Side, we did a lot of real news. A lot of news reporting, a lot of investigative reporting, but because of the election, really the last year has pretty much been politics, and not even much in the way of current events. So I'm just, you know, ready to get back down to doing real news again. So anyway, you should start seeing that the closer we get to the election, the more the stations should be changing. Most of the News on the Flip Side hosts have already been told that we will be looking. These shows, what we really want to do with them is the first half hour we're going to do current events, and the second half hour will be a specific topic. It could be any topic, but it will be a specific topic, and that's what we'll be talking about in the second hour. So just something to look forward into the near future. Like I did say, we also do have 2 new paranormal shows coming on, and you can catch up to Flipside Light lineup Monday through Friday right here on United Public Radio. Pete, to answer your question, I don't know when we're taking down 107.7. It will be coming down sometime in the next 8 or 9 days, and it will probably be down anywhere from 5 to 10 days while we relocate and remigrate all the service to higher buildings. Some of my customers got other connections. Anyway, long story short, I managed to cut a deal to get our primary broadcast towers, the 5 that we own there, put on taller buildings. One of the buildings is about 60 stories, 55 stories, and will pretty much cover the whole city of New Orleans for me, so we'll only have to keep one there, and so which allows us to expand our reaches into the Metro, West Bank, East, and Metairie area, which is something we've been wanting to do for a while. So we will be incorporating that. We will be changing the call letters for the Past Christiane station. I won't know probably for another week what they'll be, but we will be changing those. And we have added a tower here so that we can broadcast for them. Also, we just picked up a new broadcast company that will be carrying the network, and later in the show, I will pull that up and let y'all know about that. I just filled out all the paperwork yesterday, and I started setting up the online server to run it. So just another – actually, they had written to me a while back, and I guess they had gotten behind on what they were doing. But anyway, I had got the new email yesterday about please come set your station up now so we can start broadcasting it. So I am truly looking forward to that. That should be actually before the end of the weekend unless I got to go to work doing hurricane stuff. So that will also be coming up. Great little system they seem to have. Can't wait to get in to get on board with them. I'm always looking for new venues. We're also adding a new podcast site as well. So that should be interesting as well, too. And I'll let y'all know about that as it comes online next week sometime, actually. I think it comes on the middle of the week. So all stuff you can check on. Stations always growing, always moving, always changing. It's just part of what we do and the way it should be. You should always be evolving when we do radio. For all the new followers on Facebook, welcome. I've been getting a lot of email on Facebook, so I want to just welcome to all the new people on Facebook. Also, you will be seeing a few new things on Facebook, on our Facebook pages as well. We've connected with some companies that will be doing sales through our Facebook pages, which we get a percentage of. They're limited to how much they can put on because, frankly, I don't want my pages getting all spammed up in hell and back, but they're interesting companies. A lot of it's jewelry and stuff like that, so you'll be able to check that out well as well. And it will be available, I think, within 2 weeks as well. So. Also, starting actually in about 2 weeks, you will be hearing some new ads running on the network for some companies that are picking up. Should be an interesting start to the season and to the fall season, I should say, and it should help pay for some of the bills on the network. Just one of them things. Anyway, on that note, we're going to get back down to real news. and get away from some of the promo and other stuff here that we do. You know, every day is a trip when it comes to the show, because you never know what you're going to hear. But before we get into news from my friends living along the Gulf South, I'm going to play the local weather report and the Florida Gulf Coast face tropical threat. So we're going to post that up right quick and let y'all take a listen to that. There'll be another one that queues up right behind it, which is a story we'll be talking about next. So I want everyone to stay tuned to 107.7 out of the great city of New Orleans. This is News at Flipside Thursday's edition with Joe Montaldo. And I'll be right back. Oh, yeah. I'll be right back, baby. Oh, yeah, mama.
Yes! Alexa, ask Domino's for my easy order.
Alexa, play Taking a Sick Day playlist from Prime Music.
Searching for a hotel online is pretty much like this. Some deals fly right past you, and you'll never see them again. And some just don't fit. With Trivago,
you're in charge. Simply choose what's important to you and find what you want. Trivago makes sure you see the deals you care about, so you can find your ideal hotel for the best price. Hotel Trivago.
Thank you, Martha. Okay, so there was an incident in 2009 when Hillary Clinton, a Secretary of State, was traveling overseas in India, and one of her top longtime aides, Huma Abedin, realized she had a real crisis on her hands. She had left what she described as burn papers in the front seat of the car they were traveling in, and she was so concerned she sent an email to another Clinton aide, Laura Gelati, and said, "You need to take the burn papers from the front seat of the car and move them into the trunk for safekeeping." So you may be wondering, what are burn papers? Well, in the intelligence community, there's a term, burn bag. Burn bag is what you use to destroy classified information. So the lingo in those circles is burn papers is something that you would put in a burn bag, and that would be classified information. So this essentially looks like an example of what the FBI director described as extreme carelessness in the handling of this information, Martha.
On this from the State Department, Catherine?
Well, the State Department said today that it would be wrong to jump to the conclusion that burn papers was, in fact, a reference to classified information, and they referred to this manual, which is the State Department employee handbook called the Foreign Affairs Manual, saying that burn material could also be things like personally identifiable information, like a social security number or a date of birth. But it really is sort of beyond logic to think that Huma Abedin was traveling with papers in a car on a foreign trip that she wanted to have moved and described as burned documents because it was someone's phone number or date of birth. I mean, that just really belies common sense, I think, particularly in this case.
Yeah, certainly sounds like it. Catherine, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, it never stops with Hillary and her associates, ever. I apologize for the Noah thing. For some reason, the Noah link doesn't want to play, so I will look for another one for the hurricane update in a little while so that we have that before we leave tonight. But, you know, Huma Dean is guilty up to her nose. I don't even understand how the woman got vetted, being that her mother and father and brother are all radical Islamic. Have y'all checked out the newspaper, or I should say the journal, they write for? I mean, this thing is pretty much all hate America. It blames America for everything. I mean, for everything. You name it, America's being blamed for it. It is just a sad, sad state of affairs all the way around when it comes to this. And you just have to wonder how someone with this kind of background got a job working for the Secretary of State and is now trying to get a job working in the White House. She is a security risk, and how someone hasn't come forward. I'm beginning to wonder if our government has not been infiltrated by radical Islam. Because when you listen to Kumi talk, obviously she broke the law. He said there was no intent. When you raise 30,000 emails, that shows intent. That's intent to cover up. I don't even know what kind of crack the FBI guy was on. I mean, really, you know, and then he said himself in the 15,000 emails he uncovered, there was classified material. So not only did she wipe out 30,000 emails, she wiped out 30,000 emails that had classified material. How that is not intent, I don't know. I want whatever he's smoking. I got to be honest with you, because he's smoking some good shit. He is bought and paid for, and that's all you can say, and it is a shame that the head of the FBI we have to discuss in this manner. It is just a shame, and it's pathetic. When you start looking at him and Loretta Lynch, you just have to say, oh, my God, this country is in trouble. There is no justice in this country. There is no law in this country. And still, no one's even taken up for the poor guy with the video that Hillary, Obama, and Susan Rice crucified and even had put in jail. They ruined this man's life because they needed an excuse. They needed a cover-up, and they covered up. They covered up what happened in Benghazi, and yet no one got in trouble for covering it up. Last I checked, covering up and lying to the American public when you're a politician is against the law. I'm just at this point, I'm really disgusted when I look around at America. You got to kind of hang your head down and just wonder, what has our nation actually become? How did we get to this point? I mean, this is just truly sad, sad state of affairs all the way around here. And it doesn't show any signs of changing. None. It just seems like it's going to get worse. And then when you listen to Hillary, I mean, it's just unbearable. All we can hope for is in the debates that Trump just humiliates Clinton and this is over with. I mean, because really, if not, you think it was bad under Obama, you wait till the idiot gets in the White House. She's an idiot. Wait till she gets in the White House. Everybody tells me how brilliant she is. I haven't seen nothing that suggests that Hillary Clinton is brilliant. As a senator, she was lackluster at best. I mean, even under her standards, she was lackluster at best. It's sad. It's sad that this is where we are in America today, and it's sad that someone like this, someone this dishonest, someone this disgusting, is being allowed to run for president of the United States. When you have this much controversy, you should not be allowed to run. Until you can clear yourself of all controversy, you should not be allowed to run. Because, you know, it doesn't matter what she does, there's always going to be controversy surrounding Hillary. It's just sad, 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 sad. But anyway, I just don't even know what to say about it anymore. But one thing, I haven't seen Trump in the news as much. It sure does seem like Hillary is a lot more in the news. than she was before. It was all Trump, 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 but now all of a sudden it's changing. Now, one of the other things I've been getting a lot of interesting information on is the Latino and black vote. Now, you know, I was listening to Hillary the other day going on about how Trump's a racist, this, that, and the other thing. All the polls I've seen so far gives him 20% of the black vote. That's historic. No Republican candidate has ever got 20% of the vote. So if it's true and he's getting 20% of Bernie's vote and 20% of the black vote and half of the white vote, there's no way he's trailing in the polls. This should be a landslide election. So either we're being lied to in the polls, somewhere we're being lied to in general. But anyway, I'm going to cue this up right quick, and we're going to be right back after this has played. This is pollster John Zuby, Obama voters are crossing over to Trump. So let's see what he has to say about that. Remember, you are listening to United Public Radio 107.7 out of New Orleans. This is Flipside Light, Thursday's edition, and I'll be right back. Woohoo!
To talk about the status of this campaign and polling and all those interesting things, let's welcome in the director of the Keenan Center for Entrepreneurship at his alma mater, Lemoyne College, John Zogby. John, of course, the senior partner of Zogby Strategies and the author of the new book, We Are Many, We Are One, Neo-Tribes and Tribal Analytics in 21st Century America. As is his practice, he Skypes in from Utica, New York. And John, as we welcome you in tonight, I'm taking you to the West Coast for that national poll, the Southern Cal LA Times Daybreak poll. Has Donald Trump continuing to gain ground on Hillary Clinton? As we take a look at those numbers, check it out here. Trump up by a point, 44.6% to 43.5. That's an improvement. What does this poll augur, John Zogby?
What it means, obviously, is that the post-convention bounces are over. This is a very tight race. Whether a poll has Donald Trump up by actually 2 points in the last couple of hours from California, or mine that has Hillary Clinton up by 2 points, bottom line is this is a very, very close race right now.
And since you brought up that polling done by Zogby Analytics, we'll just take a look at it. Last week, you talked about Mr. Trump being ahead with some core constituencies, and that, of course, is Hillary last week up by 2 points in the latest Zogby Analytics poll. What about the subgroups? I don't know if I should call them tribes, but the different groups responding to the Trump message.
Well, you know, what's very interesting here is that, you know, initially weekly Walmart shoppers who we have been tracking for a decade and a half now, and NASCAR fans, they were solidly with George W. Bush. And then their demographics actually changed in the last 7 or 8 years following the recession. They were solidly with Barack Obama in 2008 and then 2012. They're swinging back now and back over to Donald Trump, who now leads them, not by much, but still leads them.
I love it. I love the groups, Walmart shoppers and NASCAR fans. Now,
yes.
you wrote an article, Forbes.com picked it up. The title, It's a Close Presidential Race and Don't Believe Otherwise. You're saying that. But why is there such a difference in so many polls that put Hillary way ahead?
Two things your viewers should look at when they follow the polls. Look at LV versus RV. Likely voters, that's Zogby, that's Southern California, that's my friend, well, no longer.
The names will be changed to protect the innocent, but we got it. You got to look at likely voters as opposed to registered voters. Got it. Hey, let's bring in a registered voter from Virginia. He's Reagan biographer and presidential historian Craig Shirley. Of course, Craig's the author of Last Act, The Final Years and Emerging Legacy of Ronald Reagan. And I got to tell you, there are a couple of battleground states that we need to look at very quickly as we welcome you in, Craig. Ohio and North Carolina. For example, in North Carolina, Trump is up by one, according to Gravis. Then we see in Ohio where the Monmouth poll has Hillary up by four if you include the Libertarian and Green candidates. So this thing is a close race. And Craig, as you sit there in rural Virginia, I'm interested in your take tonight, the status of this race.
I think it's as John said, it's a neck and neck race. Hillary was ahead. Donald Trump's coming back. I suspect the lead is going to shift several times before the election. There's an old adage in national politics, and that is the winner is the one who makes the next to last mistake. So if Trump's going to win this thing, he has to make sure he doesn't make the last mistake, but the next to last mistake. And Hillary, with her penchant for mistakes and mishaps, I suspect very capable. The pressure is going to get on her, and she's going to make the last mistake of this campaign.
You know, it's interesting because when I hear about mistakes and leverage, I think about sumo wrestlers. Now, we won't say the two major candidates are sumo wrestlers, but Craig, pretty close to you in Virginia over the weekend, an interesting situation at the Trump rally where Mr. Trump's supporters started to taunt a CNN crew. Let's take a look at this very quickly. And so they're shouting two things: do your job and tell the truth. Now, Craig, it's always been a situation where conservatives have a healthy disdain for the dominant media culture, but the atmosphere we're seeing right now, does it rival what Barry Goldwater went through in 64?
No, this is far, far worse. Actually, I think that journalism was pretty fair in the 18th, 19th, and early part of the 20th century. As a matter of fact, you know, in 1980, Ronald Reagan got more endorsements from daily newspapers than did Jimmy Carter. But there's a different problem here, J.D. When the founders and the framers were crafting the Constitution, you know, in the First Amendment, it's all about personal rights. It's, you know, right of speech, right of assembly, right to practice your religion. But oddly jammed in there is freedom of the press. Now, it's not because the framers at the time were in love with the editorialists and the pamphleteers and the broadsheets of the time. They hated the press of the time. They wrote and said awful things about all of them, from Washington, Madison, Monroe, all of them. But they saw the press as a valuable ally of the people against the government. And over 200 plus years, it worked. John Adams had editors who angered him, imprisoned. Abraham Lincoln had Baltimore editors in prison. John Kennedy canceled the New York Herald Tribune because he didn't like its Republican editorial.
Yeah, but somehow a cancellation of a subscription is not like throwing a guy in the slammer. We understand
it. But it does illustrate the point that there was a healthy and vibrant press that was on the part
on both
of
sides, sure.
Against the established order.
Hey, before we go, Craig, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to get in a caller from Staten Island, New York. Aaron is on the phone at 1-877-NEWSMAX. Aaron, give us your take on polling very quickly.
Yes, my take on polling is that it changes the stock market. Every day is different, and people have short memories. At the end, 2 weeks before that, there's a change, whatever they remember last, and makes a big impression. That's what they go. So
I'm listening to you describe this, Aaron, one word comes to mind: volatile. The polling is changing. That's what John Zogby points out, and that volatility is not restricted to numbers, also to opinions in a vibrant and free press, as Craig Shirley points out. Gentlemen, our time has gotten away from us far too quickly, but we very much appreciate your perspective. Craig Shirley in rural Virginia, John Zogby from Utica, New York. We'll bring you back to talk words, numbers, and more in the days ahead here on Newsmax Prime. Now, when we come back, more trouble on the southern border. Wayne Allen Root will join us with his assessment, so you stay with us.
I didn't even know. Welcome back, everybody. I didn't know Trump was polling ahead in the L.A. Times. That is not good for Hillary. And it's much closer.
The world of investing is complex. Let's simplify.
You know, here you have... you have Hillary Clinton losing in Los Angeles. This is liberal haven. It's like losing in New York. If Trump can pull Cali and Florida and a couple other states, it's over with. She has not a prayer. So I keep hearing Hillary landslide, but the numbers aren't agreeing. And then when you see these other numbers where they said she was ahead by 15 and now she's ahead by 3, I heard everybody just last week saying, oh, there's no way Trump can ever catch up. He's lost. It's over with. ABC, NBC, CBS, that's all they said. And, of course, they lied, and, of course, they were wrong. It does look like if he keeps on his current track, he'll be ahead of Vernon next week or two completely again. I don't know. I mean, and that, and every time you turn on the news, here you have Hillary into something else again. Now, you know, I didn't have much respect for the New York Times to start off with. You know, I always thought they were kind of a rag, and they were definitely a liberal rag. And I've just always felt that way, and it just shows, you know, when you look at them and what they stand for and how they do stuff, you just have to think, wow, really? You're supposed to be the press. You're supposed to be impartial. You're not supposed to be biased in any shape, form, or fashion. So, here you go. Biased alert. New York Times finds latest Clinton Foundation bombshell unfit to print. All this information about her maybe doing pay-for-play or whatever, they now said it's unfit to print. This is the New York Times. So this tells you what this guy was just talking about, the media in the United States. New York Times is bought and paid for. It's a liberal rag. That's all it is. It doesn't even report real news anymore. And from what I've seen about New York City lately with people like Cuomo and Blasio and the New York Times, I'm not even sure what to think about the city anymore. I know it's bleeding and hemorrhaging citizens by the thousands, actually by the millions. And if it keeps bleeding and hemorrhaging, it's going to lose all of its vote. It's already fell behind Texas and Florida, and this key other southern states are getting ready to pass it up as well. And it's not because people don't like New York. It's because of the politicians, and people want to get away from the bullshit rules and regulations that it is to be a New Yorker today. It's just a shame. It's a shame one of the greatest cities in the United States has basically become a liberal rag. I mean, basically, that's what it is. Hell, I'm surprised it's not a whatchamacallit city. It's just sad. I mean, when you look at these great cities, and when you look at the press and how unfair and how unbiased the press is, or how biased the press is, you just have to wonder, why do we, the people, allow this to go on? I really think that somebody needs to step up and start getting the people more involved. Like with Comey, I think the people should take a vote and have him removed from office. Like what's her name, the Supreme Court judge that came out about Trump. She should have to step down from her position. A Supreme Court judge has no business commenting on anything political or any race. So now if this becomes a tie and her vote's out, so that means the Republicans win automatically because it'll be 4-3. I'm just saying. She hurt herself and no one is going to take her serious anymore for this. And frankly, she's so old, she's lucky she can even think anymore. I mean, she's like dirt on the stand. She needs to go away. Whether it's a liberal replaces or not, doesn't matter at this point. She just needs to go away. But anyway, let me cue this up, and we'll be right back.
Happy anniversary dinner, darling. Can this much love be cleaned by a little bit of Dawn Ultra? Oh, yeah. One bottle has the grease cleaning power of two bottles of this bargain brand. A drop of Dawn and grease is gone.
I'm Lauren Green, and welcome to Bias Bash. In today's media culture, it's not hard to find some bias in a news story. Well, some news outlets don't hide their bias. Others are much more subtle. But either way, media bias is more prevalent now than ever. Why? Well, here now with his analysis is syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor Cal Thomas. Hey, welcome, Cal.
Thank you, Lauren. You know, today I found an insight into the thinking of much of the major media. Let's call it their DNA bias. This story appeared a few days ago in the Los Angeles Times. Let's start with a headline. Quote, Hillary Clinton won praise as America's top diplomat, but time has tarnished her record, unquote. Now, isn't that contradictory, or doesn't it bring into question the judgment of those who first praised her? The crucial sentence is in the first paragraph of the story. Quote, Hillary Clinton's service as America's third female Secretary of State produced few dramatic diplomatic initiatives, but was generally highly regarded by foreign policy experts when she stepped down nearly 4 years ago, unquote. Say what? She won praise as America's top diplomat, but time has tarnished her record, and she achieved few dramatic diplomatic initiatives, but was still generally highly regarded by foreign policy experts. How can this be? Who were the experts? The story doesn't say. And since she was generally highly regarded, that seems to suggest there were other foreign policy experts who have a different view. Who might they be? Again, the story doesn't say. And by the way, what constitutes a foreign policy expert, as our current foreign policy isn't looking too good? The story continues, quote, by most accounts, Clinton had Obama's ear on critical issues and helped bring professionalism back to a diplomatic corps that was often demoralized under George W. Bush. Which critical issues would those be? The Russian reset, the red line in Syria, Benghazi, toppling Muammar Gaddafi only to witness the resulting chaos, ousting Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, which nearly led to a takeover by the Muslim Brotherhood, countering the military march of the Chinese. Later in the story, we get some of these examples, but they're presented in an, oh, well, sort of way, as if to say, well, she tried, and that's all that mattered. And then there is this from foreign policy scholar and editor of American Interests, Walter Russell Mead, quote, the first Obama term was much more successful in terms of foreign policy than the second, but because things have not gone as hoped, while the world got in worse shape, it is harder to talk about Clinton's legacy, unquote. Now, that one, Lauren, made me laugh. So we're to believe there were minimal and largely irrelevant successes in the first Obama term, which turned out to have been failures during his second term. Is that it? A reasonable and unbiased person might conclude that the seeds of failure were sown in the first term, leading to bitter fruit in the second. But that's not how liberal media people or liberal politicians think. It's enough to have good intentions and be a female role model. If she failed, it doesn't matter because her intentions were good. And that, Lauren, is today's profound lesson in liberal media bias.
Ooh, I feel like I'm back in journalism school. Well, you also noticed there was an imbalance in the coverage of flooding in Louisiana. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Indeed, I did. And I wasn't alone. Newsbusters.com posted this, quote, despite the damage being as bad as Sandy and Katrina, none of the network hosts or correspondents thought to mention that President Obama was still vacationing on Martha's Vineyard in the midst of the crisis. Such an omission stood in stunning contrast to how NBC, ABC, and CBS routinely hammered then-President George W. Bush over the government response to Katrina in 2005. In fact, the same glaring media double standard was on display in 2010 during the Gulf Coast oil spill. At that time, a Media Research Center study found that only 1% of the network news coverage in the 4 weeks immediately following the spill passed any judgment on the Obama administration's response to the disaster. In 2005, it only took the same networks 72 hours to start blaming the Bush administration for a slow Katrina response. And I would add, ignoring the bad decisions by the governor and mayor of New Orleans, both Democrats, Lauren.
Okay, thanks so much, Cal.
Thank you, Lauren.
And if you want to hear more media analysis on the week's top headlines, catch Media Buzz with Howard Kurtz, Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern, and again at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Fox News Channel. I'm Lauren Green, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope y'all enjoyed that little clip right there. You know, the bias in the media is ridiculous. And we as a people, we should start launching class action suits against any media that is seen as biased. NBC is so biased, I don't even know how to stay in business. I know they're on the verge of collapse, I guess, because they're a liberal network. We'll have to bail them out because they're too big to fail. I say if that happens, we all start voting no, we won't bail them out, because they really need to go the way of the dinosaur. ABC and CBS isn't much better. CNN's becoming a joke. There may be one person on, so maybe two on CNN that actually are bipartisan. All the rest of them are pro-Hillary, and that's the way they act. Oh, Trump this, Trump that, Trump this, Trump that. All this media about all this stuff about Hillary nonstop. And yet they're still talking about Trump's wife and was she illegal. No, she's not. You've already crossed that. You've already been proven wrong. But you still feel the need to talk about a president nominee's wife. That's unheard of. That never happens. Nobody talked about Hillary. Nobody talked about Michelle. I mean, this is ridiculous. Matter of fact, nobody said anything about Michelle until she said, "This is the first time I'm proud to be an American." I was thinking, bitch, you need to move out the country. If that's really how you feel, you need to go. There's lots of stuff to be proud to be an American. If you're too ignorant to be proud to be an American, you need to move. And if she's proud to be an American now after seeing how poorly her husband's done, she's dumber than I thought she was. You know, there comes a time when you have to call this stuff out. I got to say, though, in Michelle's case, not in her husband's case, but in Michelle's case, I find that she's been a much better first lady in the second terms, and that she hasn't been near as dumb or trying to force her will on everybody, like trying to tell kids what they have to eat. Because of her first term, thousands of kids, actually millions of kids in the United States, went without lunch because they weren't going to eat the wheat and apple and crap lunch that they were trying to make them eat. So either parents started sending lunches with them or kids started going outside and getting lunches, but they weren't eating this crappy food. So it was just getting wasted, and the kids wasn't getting the energy they wanted. And this was all because of somebody thought they knew better than parents. I've seen her two daughters. They're not raised all that well. I mean, hell, the last one was out twerking and smoking pot. Not thinking you should, you know, be judging other parents when you can't even keep your kids from twerking and smoking pot in public when you're the President of the United States and First Lady. And it always cracks me up because the media, when George Bush's daughter got drunk, that's all you heard for 3 weeks. Oh, you know, Obama's daughter gets out there, gets high, and starts twerking, and we hear about it for an hour, and that's it. I mean, come on. The media is so biased, it's not funny. And personally, I don't think they should talk about the kid. I don't think they should ever talk about presidents' kids. I think that should be off limits, regardless how stupid the kid is. And I'm not saying anybody's kids are stupid. I'm just saying, regardless how stupid a child is, they are children, and they do make mistakes. And I don't think it needs to be drug out in the public, whether they're a liberal or a conservative or a Democrat or a Republican. I just don't think it's right. But the media, on the other hand, think, oh, well, yeah, man, let's see how this goes down. If I was the media, I'd be careful with screwing with Trump's kids because they don't look like they're going to put up with it. These are all grown, successful business people who would probably sue the crap out of them. And I did like what Trump said the other day. If he does lose, he's going to spend the next 5 years suing ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN for some of the crap they said and some of the stuff they reported. I mean, just the Melania stuff is probably enough to get him a couple hundred million dollars. Yeah, right, in a book. I mean, for Trump, this is win-win. Whether he gets the presidency or not, this is win-win. If he loses, he will have mega lawsuits, and he'll have a lot of other stuff going for him that he can do, and if he wins, he'll be president. So for him, this is not. For Hillary, this is like the last hurrah. Hillary wants to be the first woman president. She don't care about how she's going to run the country or even how the country's going to run because she's going to suck at it like she does in everything else in her life. But she wants that. It's her ego. This is what this is all about, is her ego, needing to be the first woman, because there's way better women out there to be president than Hillary Clinton, like Condoleezza Rice. Or even, Warren would be better than Hillary would be. And there's way more than that out there that would make much better presidents than Hillary. Any way it goes, Hillary's going to go down as a crappy president. I think that's why Obama wants her following. Because if someone doesn't follow Obama that's a Democrat, the Republicans are going to make him look bad no matter what he does. And they may even go after him on some fronts. But if Hillary follows him, oh, well, I was doing fine until that stupid bitch Hillary got in, and oh, my God, look what she did to everything I've done now. You know, I should have never elected the woman. Look at all the problems she had. I can hear him now. I can hear the emperor now talking about it. It's pathetic. It is pathetic. Our nation has become the pathetic nation. Anytime we let one party have this much control, we have really shifted. Now, here is yet another liberal. This is a liberal's daughter and a liberal senator. We're going to play this on, and then we're going to get out of here. And this is like, remember the guy who raised the AIDS medicine up to some ungodly thing from like $80 to $1,800? He was a liberal, by the way, in case you didn't know that. Let's cue this up right quick, and we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, this is Senator daughter who raises prices on the E-Pen. So I'll be right back, guys and girls. You are listening to Flipside Thursday's edition with Joe Montaldo, live right here on 107.7 out of the great city of New Orleans, and this is United Public Radio.
Things. Let's give more people access
to more investment opportunities with iShares funds, building blocks for the heart of your portfolio and your most ambitious goals. That's how we help you build a better portfolio. Get inspired. Inspired to build. iShares by BlackRock.
Visit iShares.com to view a prospectus, which includes investment objectives, risk, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal.
This has been a controversy brewing. Obviously, it started with Valeant and concerns about price hikes in that company. Where is this one going to end? Because interestingly enough, the CEO of this company is the daughter of a U.S. senator.
That's true. There's a lot of intrigue in this case. And Hillary Clinton's recent statement is that these price increases are outrageous. She's not holding back. And there's a question about what's going to happen on Capitol Hill. The CEO of this company has ties to a U.S. senator, and it's making it a little bit awkward for members of the of Congress to decide what to do. In previous cases, we've seen these CEOs get hauled up to Capitol Hill and forced to explain why they hiked prices on these life-saving drugs. So we'll see if that happens in this case as well.
Yeah, the Senate Special Committee on Aging has asked Heather Bresch, the CEO of Mylan, for a briefing at a mutually convenient time no later than 2 weeks from today. So certainly that would be before the election.
And I think it's interesting to note and important to point out, Tolu, that the price of these EpiPens when Mylan took over the distribution of the drug was $57 for a two-pack. Now it's $600 for a two-pack, and we're talking about medicine that often is necessary to save the life of someone who's allergic to a bee sting or allergic to peanuts. What have we seen so far when you've had Martin Shkreli or Valeant called up in front of Congress? Have they reacted with price cuts?
Well, most of these CEOs have stuck to their guns and decided to keep their prices the same and sort of fight back and have a more defiant tone with Congress and explain what they're doing and why they're doing it and say that it makes good business sense. In this case, it may be a little bit more difficult because this is a company that lobbied for their product to be put in all public schools and elementary schools and high schools. And the federal government complied and Congress passed a bill allowing them to do that. And to see them raise their prices has sort of made a lot of Congress members a little bit upset about that. And that may make them push back a little bit harder on this idea that they may be able to continue at these high level of prices.
And of course, the Clinton campaign, as Matt mentioned, has been vocal in the past about price hikes from these drug makers. Tolu, have other campaigns, has the Trump campaign said anything about this at all?
We haven't heard from the Trump campaign yet on this. I imagine that this is something that they're formulating a response over because the Trump campaign wants to paint itself as sticking up for the little guy. So I can expect that in the next 24 hours, we will hear from the Trump campaign, but they do also have to balance their response with being pro-business and business-friendly. So, well, it'll be interesting to see exactly how they respond to that.
Wow, from 57 to 600 on a guaranteed contract. Ladies and gentlemen, write to your congressman and ask them to please remove this company from there. Find someone else who does this and remove this company from our schools and everywhere else. They are taking advantage of sick people, people who could have allergic reactions that could kill them, and they're going to start with these $600 now. That's just coming out of our pocket. Since they go to schools and libraries and public places, this is simply coming out of our pocket. It's sad that we're at this stage. It's sad that every time this happens, there's a liberal attached to it, which you notice they didn't want to talk about. They only want to talk good about Clinton, and they didn't want to talk about that all of these price hikes, all these CEOs are liberals. So far, none of the conservative CEOs have done anything this stupid, which doesn't mean they won't in the future, mind you. But still, this is ridiculous. And as far as Hillary, I think Hillary owns stock in this company, if I remember right. I remember hearing something about this a while back. And then there's the one where Hillary Clinton tried to blame Colin Powell for her server. This woman has no respect for anybody, and she lies every time she opens her mouth. Anyone who can't see that is just completely partisan and really does not care about the United States. They just want to put a criminal in the White House. It's just sad. But anyway, we got to get out of here. because we have a show following up behind us, Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond with Christina Georgia and Ray Chavez will be following me in just about 8 minutes. So I want everyone to stay tuned to United Public Radio. See y'all later, guys. Enjoy. Good night. Hello, you're listening to United Public Radio. I'm Joe Montaldo, host of News on the Flipside. Check us out every Saturday night, 6 to 9 p.m. Central Time.
You are invited to the Quantum Leap Let Light Unite show every Friday night on United Public Radio Network from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, with your spiritual warrior goddess, Kathy Bilski. Kathy will share all the old truths the Illuminati tries to keep secret. Kathy also gives you the opportunity to join in with planetary